In November of 2020, Chicago's WTTW debuted a new special called Chicago from the Air, narrated by Jeffrey Bayer and produced by Eddie Griffin. Utilizing drones and the skills of local pilots, Chicago from the Air gave viewers a unique look at places many of us know but have never seen from above. Jeffrey Bayer and Eddie Griffin are back with a new production called Beyond Chicago from the Air, which debuts on Wednesday, December 1st, 2021 at 7:30 p.m., and I was fortunate enough to discuss it with them. If you'd like to see the video version of this interview, including the trailer for Beyond Chicago from the Air, search for Chicago History Podcast on YouTube or follow the link in the show's notes. I'm Tommy Henry, and this is the Chicago History Podcast.
Gentlemen, welcome.
Glad to be here.
Hi, Tommy.
Good to see you again. So I got to ask you, how long after the first Chicago from the Air did you guys start work on Beyond Chicago from the Air?
Well, actually, kind of right away. I think we finished the first one. Well, it aired in November. But even when we knew that we were going to do a second one, or even when we thought that we wanted to do a second one, we knew that we had to include some fall colors. And then anticipating that the show again would air, you know, this time right now, we weren't going to be able to do the fall colors in 2021. So we went back, we went out on the road in fall of 2020 and went to Starved Rock and got fall colors. So right away, so that we were shooting the second show before the first show had, you know, finished editing.
That was one of the questions that I had, because you had such great, you know, all the leaves changing. And I thought, did they just shoot that now? And they're like, you know, up to the wire on editing. It looked really amazing. And Jeffrey, I'm not sure what your fan club calls themselves, but for all the bear heads out there, there's a great shot of Jeffrey on the back of a paddle boat that you all have to look forward to.
Paddle wheel is like a steamboat, right?
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, pretty great.
In the script, I originally wrote paddle boat, and Eddie rightly noted that a paddle boat is like that little thing with for two people that's made of plastic that you're pedaling, and I didn't want to give the wrong impression, so I've been corrected. It's a paddle wheel.
I'm sure the paddle nerds out there probably would not have been happy with that oversight. So that's why it's important to have a good producer like Eddie.
Absolutely.
One of the earliest shots is of rock climbers at the Mississippi Palisades State Park. Yet I didn't see either of you on the ropes. What's up with that?
It's dangerous.
You didn't recognize me. You didn't recognize me up there? I think it was must have been the helmet.
I didn't. I kept you know, zooming in and thinking, it might be him. I don't know. But yeah. Honestly, the entire project is like a beautiful postcard of all the places to which I'm too lazy to drive. It really kind of inspired me to get out more and see more of the state. I feel like sometimes I get a little too sedentary, I guess, just kind of circulating around Chicago. Was that kind of the goal with this?
Yeah, we had, we kind of tapped out Chicagoland the first time around in the first show. So we knew that we needed to get out a little bit further and explore some of Illinois. And, you know, we tried to make Illinois look as exotic as possible by getting out to the Mississippi River, getting out to Palisades State Park, showing rock climbing, and, you know, getting into Missouri, into Hannibal, Missouri. We didn't want to make a travelogue show and say, you know, here is, you know, this, you must follow this exact path for a tour. But we need to get out a little bit further and kind of show you some things that we don't normally cover. And if you are more based, in like metropolitan Chicago, that maybe you don't know about Cahokia Mounds, near St. Louis and Collinsville. So we tried to get out to show a little bit more of the state, than we normally can cover.
You guys have these great transitions with giant yellow letters that show the different cities, and then you've got smaller little white lines at the bottom. How many different locations are featured in Beyond Chicago from the Air?
I mean, if locations, I guess, defined by, where we shot. I mean, there's probably a good 40, probably 35 to 40 different, places where our cameras went. And then we try to encompass or incorporate much more of, the surrounding areas of some of the places that we went to. So we may go out to Northwest Illinois, but we spent, five or six specific locations along the way.
You got Soaring Badger, the company, the drone company from the first Chicago From the Air, is back again. Soaring Badger, for you listeners who aren't familiar with the name, has done a lot of work around Chicago. They do a lot of the One Chicago shows. Chicago PD, for example, uses their drone efforts a lot. How involved were you with picking the shots that they used, or did they just go out and kind of shoot based on areas and then give you like a suitcase full of hard drives at the end of the day?
Yeah, we have a script and we have an idea, and I sort of have an idea of how the shots are going to need to work together. And so we come up with like a shot list, which is really kind of more of a wish list, because, we don't know what it's going to look like or what the elements are going to be for flying the drone until Soaring Badger gets on site. So from when they arrive, it's all their show. Colin, the director of photography, they have to check in with the FAA. They have to make sure that they're they're flying under permission and, that they're not in restricted areas, or that they are obviously maneuvering around objects, buildings, trees, whatnot, that are, we'd love to get a shot coming from this way, but if there's something that's going to interrupt it or cause danger, an obstacle for the drone to get around, then that's all them. That's Colin and Soaring Badger, and they maneuver and they figure out a way to kind of get what we need to tell the story. So that's, it's a lot of back and forth and a lot of great collaboration. And that's why those guys are outstanding.
There was a shot at Bemis Woods that kind of threw me off. Actually, Eddie, I may have told you this. After the first Chicago From the Air, I was like, I got to get a drone. I got to get good at this because this looks so cool and I want to shoot more of Chicago. And, but man, these guys are good. There's a shot at Bemis Woods where the drone kind of follows somebody on a zip line. And I just kept looking at it thinking, boy, I'd never be able to do that. I don't think I have that kind of dexterity. So,
well, Colin has several different drones, Soaring Badger, right? So they have a kind of a really big platform drone that can go very high and can shoot, big sweeping vistas and things like that. And I don't know the technology, but I presume it's got a lot more functionality and stability and so forth. But then he's got a smaller drone. And then Eddie, what's the, it's like a racing drone or something, right? That where he actually wears goggles.
Yeah. It's a FPV, first person view. And that is, it's like a video game, you have the maneuverability of, it's first person, but you feel like you're flying like a character in a video game. Or if you see, ESPN does those, it's like a sport drone racing, to where you can get into places where the bigger drones and even the medium sized drone can't get to.
Yeah. And so when you see a drone crew, it's kind of a multiple person operation, because there's a pilot, usually there's a pilot and a camera operator, much like you would be shooting from a helicopter. You'd have a pilot and a camera operator and sometimes a third person, a spotter. But with these FPV drones, and so the pilot, and I believe that the pilot and the camera operator both have their own controls, and they're kind of wearing them over their neck. It looks like an iPad over their neck and control device. And they're sort of looking down at the screen. But with this small FPV drone, they're wearing goggles and flying right along, like the pilot and the camera person are one and the same. He used it to fly literally inside and through the Edith Farnsworth house in the glass house by Mies van der Rohe down in Aurora, Illinois. I'm not sure. I'm guessing he used it for the Palisades shot. There's a shot where he flies through a railroad bridge that looks kind of first person to me. So there were places, and this is part of just something I've always said with both of these shows from the beginning, is that, and certainly was part of Eddie's early concept, you know, there are a lot of these kind of over Tuscany, over Wisconsin, that are shot with a helicopter, and they're just kind of big, they're like video wallpaper, you know, they're or screensavers. I mean, they're big, gorgeous, beautiful, sweeping, slow moving shots of farm fields and beautiful countryside and shoreline, and those are great, but I always envisioned and wanted this personally, as I thought of it, to be more like daredevil flying and feeling like a bird and doing things you just always dreamed you may, or maybe always dreamed you could do, but you know, you can't, because you don't, you can't fly, you know, so that's why, you know, we wanted to, you know, use these kinds of shots in the show as well.
Yeah, and I think that comes across. I mean, again, that's part of the reason that I spent a bunch of money that I probably shouldn't have getting all the drone stuff, but I really enjoy it. Now, they have to be licensed to do all the stuff that they do, but were there moments where they handed the controls over to you guys and said, have at it, or they kept you at arm's length?
Yeah, I asked many times, but I don't want to be responsible or be on the hook for crashing one of those things.
Yeah, that's that stuff is super expensive. Jeffrey, you obviously narrate the project, but you wrote it as well. While you were researching, I'm sure you didn't have all that in your head. While you were doing your research and collecting all the information, was there anything that surprised you about the places that you ended up using?
All kinds of things. You know, we talk about that's the other element of the show, in addition to the visuals, is that unlike those kind of video wallpaper shows, we wanted this to be full of story and stories. And you know, for 25 years, the thing that I've always kind of gotten a thrill out of with these programs is what I call the quote, I never knew that phenomenon, which is, you know, you've driven past something all your life, never really gave it two thoughts, but then you're surprised to find that there's a story there that you never even dreamed of. So certainly Cahokia Mounds, I mean, just this stunning fact. So Cahokia Mounds is a Mississippian, a city by the Mississippian people down by St. Louis, that's about 1,000 years old. And it disappeared about 300 years after it was established. So it hasn't been there for like 700 years. But the idea that there was a city in Southern Illinois the size of London at the same time, 1,000 years ago, is a mind-blowing fact. I mean, Henry I was on the throne in London, you know, ruling over a country in a city the same size as this indigenous people's city in Southern Illinois. You know, we just don't think of, because we've been guilty of so much storytelling being so Eurocentric, you know, you don't think of the fact that there were these big, sophisticated civilizations on this continent, and even in what is now Illinois, 1,000 years ago. So that was really great to look at. I have written some about the Black Hawk War in other programs that I've done, but never really got as deeply into it. And it's, again, it's fascinating and tragic. So there's a lot of Native American content in the show. And then just, you know, one thing I thought, you know, you get 100 miles outside of Chicago and you're in farm country. And we in Chicago and in the suburbs and in the metropolitan area, I don't think very many people think about the fact that, you know, we're embedded in farm country. You don't think about farming, you know. So it was, Eddie used the word exotic. I mean, it's funny to think of farming as exotic, but if you're a city dweller or a suburbanite, farming is something you may not know or think anything about. So I really wanted to include, you know, going out and looking at farm fields, and not just farm fields, but Eddie, you know, did a great job finding a family that's been on the land for five generations. I learned that Illinois is the top soybean state in the country. We filmed a wind farm. That was amazing. It took me a long time on Google Maps to try to figure out I wanted to figure out how big it was so I could put that in the script. And it's, you know, it was really hard to like finally, you know, get under the satellite view and kind of calculate. It's 25 square miles of wind generation and learning about wind generation in Illinois. Past wind farms on I-55, you know, on road trips all the time. But, oh my God, seeing the drone flying past those giant blades of the wind turbines, you know, was really, really, really thrilling.
I have friends who are farmers and run orchards. Matter of fact, not too far from DeKalb is one of them. And one of the nice things in the past year of craziness is that they saw more people who seem to come in from farther away to do apple picking and to kind of walk in the cornfields and kind of do all that kind of back to nature stuff. So when you talk about, you know, how it's a bit exotic, I think it's good for people, you know, even from places, you know, in Naperville, which you talk about in Beyond Chicago from the Air, to go a little bit farther. You know, you can go a handful of miles out and see much more of this amazing state we have, which is fantastic. Yeah, the Lost City of Cahokia is, I think, one of the coolest things in the show. Again, for listeners, there's a great overlay which shows the mounds. I think you say there are 80 of the original 120 that still exist, and there's this great overlay that shows what the city likely looked like back then, and breathtaking. I mean, really very cool. So thank you for that. All right. So,
by the way, I should give credit where credit's due. We did not create that overlay. That's actually something that's a virtual reality feature. If you go down and visit Cahokia, they've developed this amazing virtual reality, and they lent that to us to share in our program. So
you do mention that in the program. So, you know, I don't think anyone can claim you were.
We have a great art department, phenomenal, but they didn't do that.
You've both worked on the Great Chicago Quiz Shows. I have a super easy quiz question for you based on one of the locations that you visited. One of the areas highlighted is the old train roadhouse in Aurora. What Chicago sports great used to have a restaurant there?
Ding, ding, ding. Can I answer? Walter Payton.
Sure.
For 500, please.
That was way too easy, wasn't it? Eddie was like, come on.
We wanted to include that as part of the background in the history on what's now Two Brothers Brew Pub. So we wanted to include a little bit about Walter and the Roundhouse. But, you know, for time, we just kind of kept it moving. But, you know, I was hoping to find some photos of Walter, you know, when they had kind of reconstructed repurposed the Roundhouse into his restaurant. But, you know, maybe deleted scenes in the DVD.
Oh, that'd be nice. Yeah. I mean, even for a history nerd like me, there was a lot to learn. I knew very little about the Joliet Arsenal, so it was cool to see that old picture of that, other than getting stuck in all the Arsenal road closures over the past seemingly 20 years. Every time I drive that way, it's closed off. Was there anybody that said no to letting you film in their area?
Of course. I mean, there are some places that are not geared towards publicity. You know, they're not interested in being part of it because whatever their main purpose is of a business or a site or a location is to keep people from coming. You know, they don't want people. They don't want to, you know, kind of let the secret out for whatever reason. And so we run into that, you know, from time and again. And sometimes it just doesn't work out because you know, maybe a site is under construction and they'd love to be in the show and they'd love to be featured, but they're redoing their front facade and they, you know, they'd rather not, you know, us come with drone cameras and film them while they've got a tarp hanging over their side. You know, so that's all part of the production is to kind of navigate through locations, get them in, you know, on board to the show. And then kind of troubleshooting if they are uncomfortable because, you know, again, drones, there are some security issues that we need to, you know, to ensure that we're going to, you know, not going to crash into someone's property or hurt anyone below. And so, you know, and sometimes someone may just say that, you know, that risk is not worth it. Because, for whatever reason, but for the most part, everyone was excited to be featured in the show and were really helpful. We tried to do a lot of, rather than just flying over the farm field and getting beautiful shots at the farm, we had the farmers out there running the equipment, running tractors. And so we tried to, not necessarily stage, but try to make sure that when we were there, there was really good action going on below.
The thing I couldn't believe, I'm not involved in the actual production, managing all the production. I kind of hear about things. And there was a freight railroad that actually ran a freight train for us. They hooked it up and ran it out on the tracks for us. It wasn't actually going anywhere. I thought that was kind of mind blowing that they were so cooperative and helpful, and we didn't have to hover in the air for hours waiting for a freight train to come by.
I think that's pretty nice. But really, when you say Jeffrey Bear and Eddie Griffin, stuff happens around Chicago. So you guys talk cemeteries, you guys talk Ida B. Wells, George Pullman. There's even a joke about beach volleyball, which made me laugh out loud. So nice job there. I'm sure there are things on tap for a third installment. Yes, and before you answer that question, I have a title suggestion, Beyond the Valley of Chicago from the Air. No? It may need some work.
We're thinking more like Tropical Islands from the Air. We could use a nice long winter vacation, go down to Hawaii, go down to the Caribbean, and shoot drone footage down there. I like your suggestion. Let's do it.
That would explain why WTTW has already started their email and mail onslaught to get me to renew my donations. So Beyond Chicago from the Air will premiere Wednesday, December 1st at 7:30 p.m. on WTTW and eventually on WTTW.com. Gentlemen, thank you for your time and also for your love of Chicago history.
Thank you, Tommy. Well, thanks for having us.
It's our pleasure. And if I could add just a postscript to that. It will be online. The program will be viewable online and streaming the same day it debuts. And there is a huge website that goes along with this program that has all kinds of extra features, including a really fun behind the scenes video of what it was like to film on that paddle wheel boat. That you mentioned. So that's definitely worth looking at it. WTTW.com/Beyond Chicago.
Thank you very much. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
Bye, Tommy.
Thanks for listening to today's episode about the WTTW special Beyond Chicago from the Air. Big thanks to my guests, Jeffrey Bear and Eddie Griffin. As always, if you have any questions about anything covered today, anything to add, or have an idea for a future episode, I'd love to hear about it. Send me an email at chicagohistorypod@gmail.com. I have links to various items related to this episode's subject if you'd like to learn more. Anything ordered through those links, not just the items listed, may earn a small commission for the podcast and help offset production costs at no additional cost to you. Check out the Chicago History Podcast Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram pages for articles and pictures related to this episode and past episodes posted throughout the week. The original art for the Chicago History Podcast used on these social media pages was created by John K. Schneider. Thanks, Johnny. He can be found at AngelEyesArtJKS on Instagram or via email at AngelEyesArtJKS@gmail.com. I will be back soon with more stories from Chicago's history. Until then, get out and explore when possible. Learn more about whatever city you live in and stay safe.